It's just after 2. Time for Murph and Andy on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
It is the Murph and Andy Show, 1460.
Smooth start, smooth sailing right out of the gate. It is the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO, streaming on iHeartRadio. Michael Admire in for the guys. Justin Cerency also right. Joining me. Sean Jankowski running the board. Man, it is a beautiful, beautiful May Day. Wednesday, May 23rd. Gosh, this is my favorite day of the year, Justin.
Love it. It starts warming up. Everything available outside is, you know, you can get out there and do it. You want to go on Gray's Lake, get a canoe, kayak, paddle boat. You want to go golfing, go for a run.
There's so much to do. There's so much to do. And speaking of so much to do, Justin, I mean, do you have anything... you know, anything you'd like to, you know, start the show off by saying to me?
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I want to say happy birthday. Oh,
okay.
Michael,
yeah.
Admire.
I had to milk it out of you. Okay. Man, well, appreciate that. Yeah, it is my birthday. It feels good to be in here co-hosting with Justin on a Wednesday. Murph is helping the family get his dad around to head back to Florida. So some really good news for the Murphy family. Big L is heading back home, apparently feeling much better.
Good.
A long road ahead for Big L, but he's feeling much better. So pumped for Keith and his family. Andy is out on assignment this week, and AD is in D.C.?
Yeah.
Is that right?
He's with Judy out in D.C.
Man, we've got the world travelers, a lot of guys
everywhere.
Super busy. We are streaming right now on iHeartRadio and 1460KXNO.com because the Royals and Cardinals are on 1460 AM radio. So if you're joining us right now, this is a little bit of something you might be missing.
Moustakas, their third baseman at the plate, and Moustakas swings and fouls it back.
Moustakas, you got Mike Shannon on the Cardinals radio network, and he just keeps dropping Moustakas. Is there anybody in the booth that can give him a heads up that it's Mike Moustakas?
Yeah, don't let him make that mistake.
Nice, right? Justin.
Well, John Rooney's in the booth with him. Can you help him out?
Mike Shannon, I don't know much about Mike Shannon, but just by listening to him the few times that I turn into the Cardinals games, he just doesn't seem like the most approachable guy. So maybe, you know, he's been in the business for 46 years. He knows what he's doing. He's kind of like Andy. You know, Andy fails every once in a while. He'll just like purposely mispronounce, you know, Superman. Or say Superman. And
now, I wonder if he's kind of poking at the Royals. I mean, it's right down I-70. You know, it's not like it's right down the turnpike. If you're familiar with Kansas and Missouri, you know, in Missouri and that area, Kansas City to St. Louis, it's not like they're that far away. You know how to pronounce Mike Moustakas.
I think there's a little bit to that. If you're not a Cardinal, there's no need to know your name. So yes, thank you for joining us here on streaming iHeartRadio 1460KXNO.com. The Royals, Cardinals are playing, but man. We have game 7 tonight in the NHL. We'll actually go to Tampa Bay a little bit later on. Cleveland and Boston game 5. You had the Warriors and Rockets play a classic game last night. But a Wednesday in May, and somehow the NFL steals the headlines with a series of major rule changes, not only in safety, but with the national anthem. The owners unanimously pass a policy that requires all NFL teams and personnel to stand for the national anthem. There are a handful of other rules that go along with this. We'll get to the anthem in just a minute, but first we'll kind of dive into some of the rules that they've made with when it comes to the kickoff and ejection for using a helmet to hit an opponent. Basically, the college rule is now in effect in the NFL, which typically it goes the other way. The NFL will establish a rule or a trend, and it will go into the college and into the younger, you know, into the youth leagues. But now, in effect, if a player lowers his helmet prior to making contact with an opponent's helmet, that is up for ejection. Contact clearly avoidable, and all ejections will be replayed. I think this is a good step in the right direction for the NFL. They needed to make some sort of a change. I don't want to see any more replays. That's the last thing the NFL needs.
Slow it down.
But at this point, I'm okay with this being one of those, being one of the alternate uses of replay.
Yeah, player safety is huge. It's about the longevity of the game, having players around so they can, you know, play the game of football. And you know, one thing I've always found interesting, ever since I've been, you know, playing football, and I first started in third grade in the 90s, and on the helmet, you know, every helmet, no matter how small you are, what league, to the NFL, it literally says, it has a warning sticker on it, and it says, do not use as a weapon, do not use to spear. And that's what a lot of these tackles have turned into in college and in the NFL. If you see, especially D-backs, they're torpedoing themselves low to tackle a ball carrier. It's extremely dangerous. And, you know, a lot of times you get a guy, I mean, it's easier said than done. I mean, you have Adrian Peterson coming at you or Todd Gurley, and you're a 185-pound D-back. You want to tell that guy to tackle him at his waist? I mean, it's tough, but it's safe to tackle that way. And the helmet itself says, don't use this as a weapon. I mean, so for those that say, oh, that's terrible, it's taking away, making the game softer, you're never supposed to use the helmet. So this isn't a change that should be that impactful for tacklers, but it's going to be because they've been tackling the wrong way for about a decade.
I think they've started to make some changes when it comes to how you tackle. I think the biggest thing will be, you know, losing a player, a key player.
Sure.
Roger Goodell mentioned today, or maybe the rules official, somebody from the NFL said today that there were only five such cases that they saw from last year that would result in an ejection. And Justin, you brought up that little helmet sticker.
Yeah.
I remember in high school, you had a, you know, we would stop at the end of practice, you know, the first day of camp, right before we do the tackling, you take the helmet off, and all together now you read the sticker on the back of
there,
it.
It's there, and it's always been there.
And the NFL is catching up to college in this way, where they are making changes, and now a player can be ejected. Again, all ejections up for replay. They've also made some rule changes in the most dangerous play in football, and that's the kickoff. So here is a handful of rules that they've changed when it comes to kickoff. Five players on the kicking team must be on each side of the ball. Players will not be allowed a running start. Two players on the kicking team must line up outside the numbers. Eight players on the receiving team must line up within a 15-yard setup zone. So there will be a 15-yard area where the majority of the players on the receiving team have to stay within until the ball is kicked off. That only leaves three guys back to return. Also, there's no blocking. There's a 15-yard no blocking zone prior to the ball hitting the ground or being touched. And then there are no wedge blocks. Mm-hmm. So when the returner catches the ball, there cannot be two or three or four guys lining up, you know, locking arms and blocking one player or blocking a handful of players. This is, how do you see this, Justin, maybe changing kickoffs or changing the game?
I think this is one of the biggest rule changes that the NFL has done in quite some time. The wedge blocks in particular are gigantic, because when you can have, when a receiving team with a wedge block, you have two, and you used to be able to have maybe even three guys almost lock arms, run down the field, and block a couple guys. And then on the kicking team, you would have what's called a wedge buster. Now, these guys, already some of the craziest guys you ever meet on a football team are the wedge busters, because their job is to be one man, obviously, run down to that two or three man wedge and just bust it up, just annihilate it. And so you have some of the biggest hits of the game happening with wedges because of that. Now you eliminate the wedge, and that's going to lead to a much more safer kickoff play. and also the non-running start. Now, this does not hold true for the kickers. The kickers will be able to get a running start, for those wondering.
Yeah,
you know,
cause of course.
I was actually talking. I was talking with Chandler, my wife, and I mean she knows a lot about football, everything. And I was explaining it. I was talking about no running starts, and that was immediate. Like, what? How's the kicker gonna? You know, what's gonna happen there?
So that's a great question.
Can still run, and the non-running start. I think that this is going to be huge in training camp. Who makes rosters? Because if you don't have a running start and you don't have a wedge, you don't need some of those more bulky guys who can be more physical in breaking up a wedge and needing that running start. You need guys that can get to full speed within, you know, 5 yards. So some of the smaller guys, D-backs, receivers, some linebackers that are quick, but you know, you're not going to have like some running backs that are bigger that takes them longer because they don't have that running start anymore. So you need guys that are going to get down the field, much like they do already on punt returns. You always see those gunners, their receivers or D-backs on the edges on punt return coverage, on punt coverage, because they need guys that can get down there fast and there's no wedges. So you don't need to be as strong or bulky or fierce down there to break up blockers. You just need to get there and get that tackler. Returners, I mean, you're a Kansas City fan, Tyreek Hill. You're talking about in the history, Dante Hall, Devin Hester, small guys with the ball. So you don't need to be big to tackle these guys. And now that they're taking out some of the bigger blocks, some smaller guys are going to make teams on special teams where usually they would need bigger guys out there on the edge. And so that could change the dynamic of the 52-man roster as well.
Interesting. And one of the things that first came to mind for me, you know, they're spreading everything out so much. It feels like there are going to be – and this is the direction the NFL wants this to go, is more either touchbacks, no returns, or big plays because yeah. They've spread everybody out. So it adds a little bit of a dynamic of, if you have one of those home run hitters, and of course just being a Kansas City fan, you automatically think, okay, if Tyreek Hill gets the ball, makes one guy miss, it seems to maybe that could open it up. There will be some strategy into it. Having all those eight players up closer, you wonder if that, you know, opens up the pooch kick a little bit more. Just kind of if you get a specialist that can just kind of place it in there, hit, bounce around the 30, 35 yard line, you get your fastest guys down there. Almost like the XFL days where kick it down and whoever's the fastest to the ball can scoop it up. Some major rule changes in the NFL today with safety and kickoff, but the one that is turning so many heads and is the big talker today is with the national anthem. Teams and players must stand for the national anthem. Roger Goodell talked about that today at his press conference.
Programs that we think are so important in the communities. We're proud of that support, and we think that that's how change is really going to be made. Clearly, our objective as a league and to all 32 clubs, which was unanimous, is that we want people to be respectful at the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe. We've been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that moment is an important moment and one that we are going to focus on.
So the NFL passes, and the key word here is unanimously, a rule that states that all NFL players and personnel must stand and show respect for the flag during the national anthem. Teams and players may stay in the locker room, but if a player or a personnel member does not show proper respect, they can be fined from the NFL or through the club. Justin, just your gut instinct on this. It feels like it was trending this way. The players' union will obviously combat this and fight this, but your gut instinct.
The NFL, first, they needed to, either one way or the other, they needed to make a stance on this. Last year, it was just too wishy-washy. Some owners, you know, would come out and say one thing, another would say another. Well, it's interesting that it was unanimously passed because owners were saying that they were for it and some were saying against it. But I just don't know where it's going to stop. Some players, I mean, what happens when a guy, let's say Cam Newton, comes out and says, well, I'm going to stand, but I'm going to put my head down. And then people are going to start booing him for that. I mean, it's not going to stop. And I just don't understand, you know, where the NFL is going to try to, you know, stop something like this. Obviously, free speech is an issue. NFLPA has come out and said that they didn't talk to the players' union at all about this. And, you know, one thing the NFL just has to – I feel like they need to come out with and just acknowledge the fact that, I don't know, it was 5 years ago, 7 years ago. I mean, the only reason they started acknowledging Military Day at the stadiums was because the military gave them money, and now they want to say they're high and mighty talking about, you know, respecting the flag. There's a lot of contradictory statements with the NFL in general, just with what they came out and said today. It's – you know, they're trying to, you know, save face with certain owners and certain people and, you know, players who feel that they have an issue to bring to light without disrupting the game, and they're not allowed to do something. And, you know, obviously you never want to disrespect the flag. But if a guy says, you know, this is the biggest stage, I'm a millionaire and I want to do something, I mean, do you just want them to shut up and play football, or like the, you know, LeBron was told, shut up and dribble? I mean, you know, it's a cause near and dear to each, you know, each individual that does stand up or kneels down, and it's a tough one, but I don't see why, how it affects the game, you know, kneeling. You know, I've been through situations of, you know, racial injustice growing up, and so I guess because of that, I can see why someone would want to kneel down. So, I mean, if you're not in those shoes, then you don't understand at all. And I get that. And, you know, I have military. My grandpa fought in World War II. My uncle fought in the Vietnam War. And my uncle from the Vietnam War wasn't treated well when he came back. So there was a lot of people that disrespected him, and he fought for the country. And it's a tough situation. It's a different situation for each person. And it doesn't mean necessarily, if they're in it for the right reasons, that they're disrespecting the flag. But the NFL had to do something, because they couldn't just let it happen. They had to say yes or no. And, you know, as a business, when you're owning a business, you have to make a rule for everyone. So, I mean, either way, people would have been upset.
Yeah, at first, when Colin Kaepernick was the first to kneel, or at least the first player brought to our attention, I didn't like the vehicle in which way he was trying to make his point, essentially. I didn't like him kneeling. I did find it disrespectful, but as we've listened to them and heard from several of the players, this was what they felt was the best way to go about it. Of course, it was just, I think, there's a lot lost in translation between owners and players. And if they didn't even sit down and talk about this together, you wonder why that happened. What I hope basically happens is kind of going back to our first topic was take the college route. Mm-hmm. Just stay in the locker room. If it's if it's too much of a big deal for the fans, if the owners can't handle seeing a black man or a white man not stand for the national anthem, or if the fans in the stands don't want to come to the game because of that, just players have the choice now to stay in there. I don't like the NFL saying and making a rule that you have to stand for the national anthem. It should be the player's choice. I understand it's the owners pay a lot of money to these players to play the game, but at the same time, you give them the when you pay them, you can cut them if you don't want them on your team.
None of the contracts are guaranteed in the NFL.
Exactly,
it's not like, you know, baseball or basketball. And I mean, going back to the NFL getting paid to recognize the military, the NFL made this problem for themselves by accepting money and deciding to have these big arrangements before the game, which the military deserves all of it, but the NFL didn't start doing it until they were paid, and now they want to get mad at players for doing whatever they do. I mean, it's interesting that, you know, they opened the door for this, for taking money to recognize the military, which they shouldn't have had to take any money to recognize the military in the first place.
Yeah, I would like the players to stand for the national anthem, but I also don't like the fact that the NFL is coming in and saying you must stand for the national anthem. And that does bring us to quickie poll A. Shawnee Jenks, you got that?
Yeah, should the NFL require players and personnel to stand during the national anthem, yes or no?
Straight up, yes or no. What are your thoughts? Vote on Twitter. Did we have it on Facebook?
It's on Facebook. It's on KXNO.com. It's everywhere.
Awesome. So you have many options in which to voice your opinion, voice your thoughts on the polls, or you can call in at 515-284-5966. Also have that number handy because we'll be setting up the three-point play, which will be coming up here in the second block. You are listening to 1460 KXNO. It is the Murph and Andy Show. I'm Michael Admire. Justin Cerency hanging out. Yeah. Shawnee Jenks in here. Everybody just decided to take the day off. So we're filling in a little bit. Again, I mentioned Murph is helping out with the family. Andy Fales is on assignment. He's got a really fun project he's working on, or at least an interesting project that he's working on. And AD is in D.C. Earlier today, the Hawkeyes, the Big Ten tournament opened, and we'll talk to Chad Lystico in the second hour, but the Big Ten tournament opens. Hawkeyes are the 6 seed playing Michigan, the 3 seed. Hawkeyes are the defending Big Ten tournament champs. They also played in the championship game in 2016. This is a team that needs a couple wins to make sure that they are into the postseason play. Have a decent record, a decent RPI. They're 6th in the Big Ten. They expect 5 to 6 teams to make it from the Big Ten. Iowa needs to kind of bolster its resume. If you're talking NCAA tournament, you'd call them a bubble team. And at 9 a.m., they get started. Michigan wins in 10 innings, 2-1 on a sacrifice fly. So Iowa will face the loser of Purdue, Ohio State tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Again, we'll get a hold of Chad Lystico. He's been following this team very intently for the past few weeks, but he's been along the ride all year. We'll get some of his thoughts and opinions on that team. Again, Game 7 in the NHL tonight. We'll go to Tampa coming up in a little bit just to kind of get a feel for the vibe of what hockey is like in Florida this time of year. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun to catch up with a good friend, Ryan Smith. He is with ABC in Tampa. We'll catch up with him. But as for Game 4, the NBA, Warriors, Rockets, it looked like one of those nights where, once again, we were just going to turn it off at halftime. There was no chance that the Rockets would find a way into this game because the Warriors started so hot.
5 on the shot clock, gotta go. Pulls up over Ariza. It's good. It's a 3 straight on for Kevin Durant. And finally, the Rockets have to call timeout. 12-0 start for the Warriors.
Woo, 12-0. Wow. I was out covering some high school sports last night, so I missed this 12-0 run. But as you're going back on Twitter and everybody was just kind of bracing for another long night, but then all of a sudden the Rockets surged right back.
Thank you, David. Here's Harden with drive. Stuffs! A facial by James Harden going right at Draymond Green, and a lot of chatter out there following that shot.
That's Marv Alberts and TNT on the call, right, Shawnee?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, that's the TNT crew there. So the Rockets down 12-0. They come back and they're leading at halftime. And this is what makes the playoffs, the NBA playoffs, so filled full of drama, because it's so up and down every single day and every single game. And now proving in this game, every single quarter, Steph Curry storms the Warriors back in the third quarter as he kind of catches fire.
Bell up top, Draymond, back to Curry left side. It's a 3, and it's good!
Tucker thought he was right there, but he just misjudged the quickness of the release.
So the Rockets now with their backs against the wall, this is a point where it feels like not only are the Warriors going to win the game, but if they win this game, they take the series.
Yeah.
And so the Rockets fight back, take the lead, and then KD gives up the ball in the last play, turns the ball over. The Warriors do have one final shot, and it's Steph Curry who finally cooled off. We do not have the audio of Steph Curry missing that final shot, but the Rockets hang on to win game four to even the series. So now we have two series in the NBA tied at 2-2. This playoffs, the games haven't been all that great until tonight, at least in the conference finals, or until last night in the conference finals. But, man, people stayed around to watch that.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. That game was surprising. I mean, the Warriors, that was the first time I think they lost to the Rockets on their home court in the playoffs in the last, like, eight times that they've played each other. So that is astounding. The Warriors typically don't lose at home in the playoffs. And if you saw that last play where Kevin Durant gave it up to Klay Thompson, it almost looked like Klay was like, well, why are you giving it to me right now? And it was, I mean, he's usually ready, set, has his feet set, turns, fires. I mean, and the shot was just, it just wasn't even, it didn't even look like a Klay Thompson shot. So don't know if they were just drained from just the ebbs and flows of that game, or if there's something wrong with, you know, Klay. And we know that Steph has been banged up earlier in the playoffs. He didn't even play. Maybe the minutes are taking its toll on the Warriors. But it goes back 2-2. Home court advantage now to Houston. And they get the game seven at home if it goes seven games.
Were you in the sports office around that time?
Yes.
I was going to say, I think it was you, me, John Sears. We're all standing around as KD's coming up the court. And you're like, okay, this is KD time. This is the moment where
right.
That's exactly who you want to have the ball in that moment. And he just gives it up. We've heard the hot take trains all day saying, you know, if that's LeBron, he gets scorched for that.
But he sure does.
End of the day, it's the Houston Rockets with a 95-92 victory to even the series. They take the series back to Houston. CP3 with a little momentum. He had a nice game, 27 points. He kind of took over in the fourth quarter. James Harden with a nice night, 30 points for him. Again, we're setting up the three-point play. Phone number is 515-284-5966. We will start with that next, including throwdowns.
For three. Oh! He'll fire another long three. Good again! For three more. Yes!
Take a shot at the three-point play.
Welcome back to the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO, streaming on iHeartRadio. It's Michael Admire, Justin Cerncy, and Shawnee Jenks. And for the boys, we are now starting with the three-point play brought to you by Truman's Pizza Tavern. $25 to Truman's. Chad, you're up first, and whose voice is this?
I think it's also a movie that needs to be seen in a theater. It's still in the theaters. It's a big-screen movie.
Mr. Movie?
We'll give it to him.
We'll give it to him. That's Mike Woody, Mr. Movie. Nice job, Chad. We'll be nice here today. Okay, the band. Name the
song. Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you got to do.
Oasis.
Wow, Chad. Ooh. Impressive. That I would have never gotten that. Okay. You can sweep it here. $25 to Truman's Pizza Tavern if you can guess this movie.
Nick, give him your wallet.
What for?
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Chad for the sweep.
Gotta be Crocodile Dundee.
Wow. Man, yes. Chad the Ringer had a couple other guys on, had a couple guys online, but Chad takes it all. Chad, hang on a little bit. Shawnee Jenks is going to take care of you and get those $25 to Truman's Pizza Tavern. If you need a friend, just shoot me a Twitter message. I'll meet up with you there. Truman's, awesome place in the East Village off MLK. Go over there, check it out. They've got awesome pizza, Boulevard beer, all you can think of.
Tasty.
It's some good stuff. Mm. We now bring in a native Kansas Cityan, Ryan Smith. He's now a news reporter at ABC Action News in Tampa Bay, where they're getting ready for Game 7 against the Capitals. Ryan, I know you haven't had the chance to check out Truman's Casey Tavern Pizza, but how much do you wish you could have been here when that was going on?
Your social media kills me, Admiral, because every time I see it, it's not only the look inside the Kansas City-centric field, but the food looks so dang good. I'm so mad. Why? Dang it, Des Moines. Why didn't you get this there when I was there?
Yeah, Ryan was at KCCI. You were there for like 3.5, 4 years, right?
3 years, about 3 years.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And then moving on up to Tampa, where are you at right now, and what is kind of the vibe you're getting in the hockey hotbed of Central Florida?
That's the funny thing is, you know, man, coming down to Tampa, this is the first time I have been in any city that has professional hockey. As you know, growing up in Kansas City, that really wasn't a thing for us. We had the Blades for a time. I think that was a thing. But, yeah. Man, I've been so impressed because Tampa Bay truly embraces. This town is just on fire for the Bolts. Obviously, the Lightning are a professional franchise here that does really well nearly every year. But, man, they kicked it up a notch this year. And every game at home, every away game, thousands of people get together downtown. They have these huge, massive watch parties. And this is definitely, despite it being sunny and 80 degrees, give or take, year-round, this is a hot town. It really is.
That's interesting. And here in Des Moines, for the most part, on the sports scene, still developing our, you know, hockey roots.
Yeah,
it's definitely grown over the past few years. But it's just interesting looking at. Yeah, you said it's 80 degrees most of the time down there. What?
Yeah, you know, Sorensen knows. I mean, you grew up in Minneapolis area. That feels like a hockey city. You know, it's got the winners to assist. But here, I went to my first Bolts game my first year here. First Lightning game, and honestly, it was one of the I can sincerely say it was one of the most best sporting experiences I've had. And this is from growing up going to Arrowhead, which we all know how into it, you know, the Chiefs thing fans get.
Wow, yeah, Arrowhead, and I know we went down to a couple games in Kansas City when they were making the push to the playoffs. So that's high praise. Do they play downtown? Do Lightning play downtown?
Yeah, so the Amalie Arena is right smack dab downtown. Kind of, it sits between the downtown corridor and in a neighborhood called Channel Side, which is where Port Tampa Bay is. A lot of high rise condos right on the water. And what's interesting is we have an owner in Jeff Vinnick he's pouring billions into redeveloping mixed use around Amalie Arena. And they have this project now that's going to put in housing, restaurants, retail, all smack dab right there in Amalie, just to continue to grow the scene downtown. So that's pretty cool, too. So certainly, we got the Rays, the Bucks, the Rowdies in soccer, but definitely I say Tampa is all about the Lightning.
Well, that's cool to hear. Check out your social media posts, Ryan Reports, at Ryan Reports. And, yeah, you've got some, just some of the images from there, the wideouts or whatever it might be. As a news guy, I mean, you're into sports, you know what you're talking about, but you're usually covering more serious topics. Yeah, so when you go there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying in your everyday, you're covering more serious topics. What is it like whenever you get to jump into the news side of stuff, and how do you cover the Lightning?
Oh, dude, it's the best. I mean, anytime I can, you know, spend my night watching the Lightning play on a huge Jumbotron TV and talking to fans and just really getting ingraining yourself in that experience. I mean, those are some of the best days I have here. And honestly, when I was in Des Moines, when we were traveling for March Madness, covering Iowa State and Iowa and that great run they had, as well as you and I, or going to watch the Hawkeyes in the Big Ten Championship for football, I mean, dude, as a news reporter, you can't beat it. I mean, it's like you're getting paid to be on vacation almost because you're traveling, and it's just fanfare, and you get to be part of the fanfare.
Yeah, Ryan, you kind of hit it on it before. You know, you're talking about when you were covering March Madness, and you know, at times as news reporters, we cover, you know, Iowa State rallies, Iowa rallies. With that watch party, saw some pictures on your social media. And, you know, I mean, they have it's lights galore up there. I saw they blasted a Tampa Bay Lightning logo on Tampa's version of the principal charity building.
I like to call that the Bolts. That's like the Bolts bat signal. They throw that up right on the skyscraper downtown for the watch parties. And let me tell you something interesting. So I went to Game 6 on Monday for the watch party. Of course, Game 6 was in D.C. And a home ice for the Caps there. It was raining. In downtown Tampa, not sprinkling, not drizzling, raining. We didn't even know if I'd cover the watch party from a news angle. Considering the weather, we thought it'd be a washout. There were easily over 1,000 Lightning fans still huddled downtown at the watch party at Curtis Hickson Park who chose to wear ponchos and sit under umbrellas and watch the game six on three different jumbotrons downtown. Then stay at home in the dry, you know, convenience of their home.
Yeah,
so that to me, that was like, wow, these people are serious.
Yeah, that's not an area, you know, in the Midwest. You grew up in the Midwest. Admire and I did as well. We're used to weather changing and being unpredictable. I mean, we all know about the Ray Gun forecast T-shirts. Each day is, you know, 30-degree difference. But in Tampa, you would expect, you know, people that live there to expect 80 degrees and sunny every day. Maybe some light rain, but just tropics. You know, people go there, they retire, they go on vacation there because it's good weather. It's great. So when bad weather comes, you'd expect everyone to just scatter and say, we won't worry about the lightning. It's okay. We'll watch it on TV. But that just shows the fanfare is there in Tampa, in a warm weather city for a sport that typically, you know, colder coast teams, East Coast and Midwest, upper Midwest kind of usually carry the NHL, you'd think. But Tampa really proven otherwise.
You're listening to 1460 KXNO on iHeartRadio. It's the Murph and Andy Show. Michael Admire, Justin Cerency, and for the guys, Ryan Smith from ABC Action News in Tampa filling us in on what it's like in Tampa right now, covering the Lightning and just everything crazy going on down there. Ryan, we had a friend of ours, one of the co-hosts here on the Sports Fanatics, he had a decision to make. He's on vacation down there right now in the Tampa area.
And,
great. Yeah, Chris Williams, he's on vacation down there, and he had to make a decision whether to go to the Lightning game tonight, you know, $130-plus dollars per ticket, or Chris Archer and David Price, the Red Sox, and Rays are also in town tonight. If you're giving him, if he hasn't made a decision yet, I don't know if he has. If he hasn't made a decision yet, where do you push him?
No question, Amalie Arena. Even if you don't buy the ticket for Game 7 tonight, which, yes, will be astronomical, I'm sure, they're going to have 20,000 fans in Amalie Arena tonight. It'll be sold out. Go to Thunder Alley, which is right outside. It's at Amalie Arena. They have Jumbotron, DJs, food trucks, all the Lightning fans who don't go into the game. They bring their lawn chairs. They sit out. That right there is an experience I've never really gotten to experience, you know, covering sports or any city I've lived, like in Kansas City. So no doubt. Plus, it's Game 7, man. It's do or die.
Yes.
If he's there when Lightning win tonight, it is going to be mayhem. Pandemonium. It's going to be awesome.
It's a party within a party down there.
Yeah, hard to pass out on Game 7. Hey, Ryan, do you have a couple minutes?
Yeah, dude.
I know you're busy and working, but it's my birthday, so I have to sit out. Guess whose birthday?
It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday.
All right, Justin, you're up first. Guess whose birthday?
One second. Okay. Ryan, do you know how to play Guess Whose Birthday?
I'm guessing you guessed the birthday?
Yeah, we'll play an audio clip. It is pretty straightforward. Shawnee Jenks will play an audio clip. You guessed the name of the person in the audio clip, and then you have to guess their age within 1 year.
Oh, that's tough.
Okay, well,
that's a high mark.
You're in it. All right,
all right, back Justin,
let's do it.
Justin, you're up first, though. Guess whose birthday?
How does it feel?
Know it, go for
right.
It.
Bob Dylan?
It is Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan from Minnesota. So much love to Bob Dylan. I want to say that he is 73.
He's 77. So that's a miss. Ryan, Bobby. Guess whose birthday?
Hey, you want to get high, man?
That's how they do. They got wooden balls, man.
I got a joint here, man. I've been saving for a special occasion.
Talk it out, man.
Kind of grabs you by the boo-boo, don't it?
Right. That would be Tommy Chong.
It is Tommy Chong. Well done.
Nice.
I'm going to say that guy's up there. Cause those movies were like in the 80s, 70s. I'm going to guess 72.
He's 80, so that's a
wow.
Mess.
He's even more up there.
All right, man. Justin. Tied go. Going into the final round. Guess whose birthday?
McLaughlin?
No, it is not. It's Jewel.
Oh, Jewel.
Jewel.
Okay. Jewel is...
How old is Jewel?
47.
She's 44.
Oh,
so that's a narrow
wow.
Miss.
It is wide open.
Ryan, you got this, man. All right, here we go. Guess his birthday.
Pressure.
And now, here is the star of The Price is Right. Hey, welcome to The Price is Right.
So am I guessing for Drew Carey?
It is Drew Carey.
Okay. Drew Carey, I'm going to throw out 48.
He's 60. That's a miss.
He looks so young for his age.
So is that a tie?
No. Ryan won. Win.
Yeah, Ryan wins.
Just fails. I'm a rock star.
Hey, baby, I'm a rock star. Oh man, this is a great day.
Nice work.
Great day. Hey, it's always a great day when I get to catch up with a good friend, Ryan Smith.
Yeah,
thanks
man.
For joining us. You have fun on your so-called vacation tonight, covering sports.
All right, buddy. Hey, thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. Happy birthday, Admire.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
That is Ryan Smith from ABC Action News in Tampa, covering the Lightning tonight. Man, that's a little surprising that they take care of business down there. Coming up next, we will have throwdowns.
Don't let me throw it down.
It's time for throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
All right, let's throw it down. Michael Matt Campbell told reporters on the Cyclone Tailgate Tour that Nike has made Iowa State a priority and a darker uniform is in the works. When it comes to Iowa State alternate uniforms, what would you like to see?
Every team has the dark jersey. Every team has some cool side gig, whatever it may be, throwing in lighter colors or darker colors, shiny helmets, flat helmets, all of that stuff. Every team has that, but nobody has the power sigh. You gotta put the sigh on the side of the helmet or somewhere on the jersey. Bring back sigh.
Whatever happened to the navy blue that Iowa State used to have? They used to have navy blue within their jersey back in the Seneca Wallace days. I'm just curious as to how that just left. It just made a voyage across the Atlantic and just disappeared. But yeah, I like it when Nike says it's a priority. Usually good things come. It's always huge with sales and getting more funds for the department, for the university. And it just switches it up. I know one of the main reasons I didn't get a Randy Moss jersey when I was little is because everybody was buying them. The Vikings only had two jerseys, purple and white. Getting more jerseys, kids can switch it up. They don't have to look exactly the same as everyone in their classroom. And it's just fun. You know, it just injects some excitement. And I love it.
All right, Justin, the NFL says all players on the field must stand for the national anthem or the team is fined. Players will have the option of staying in the locker room. Did the NFL get this right?
I don't think they've gotten. I don't think they've gotten it right quite yet. Or was it? Were we supposed to start with Justin?
Yes.
I just jumped him.
That's all right. I'll
just take over from here. no, I don't think they got it right. I just don't like the fact that they're forcing players to do one thing or another. They need to talk with the players and talk with fans and talk with military members. Do whatever it takes to come up with a proper plan of attack. This forcing players to do one thing or another is not the right way to go about it.
Yeah, there was no dialogue with the players' union on this decision. It was unanimous. And to not talk to the players, I think that just shows you they got it wrong. Whether or not if they talk to the players' union and the players' union says that they want players to stand, then that's one thing. But to not include the major employees in your business I guess guys making decisions for women. It doesn't go over well, right, if you're not talking to those that, you know, are actually affected.
All right, and finally, Justin, Fox reportedly paid $1 billion for the rights to WWE SmackDown Live. Why is this money well spent, or why is it not?
Justin, that's your turn.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, no, I love it. WWE, it generates so much excitement. When it comes to Des Moines, I mean, there's so many people. Twitter's going crazy. Facebook's going crazy. It's entertainment, and it's a lot of fun, and it seems like it's when we're looking at, you know, football having a lot of problems with concussions and stuff, and while wrestling, I mean, we've been hearing about people getting addicted to pain pills, but it's not exactly as violent as football. I mean, this could be the next, if football continues to teeter in the ratings, I mean, wrestling and things like this could be the next wave, and they're trying to take advantage, and people are buying the tickets up and supporting it, and so. Go all out.
Well, wrestling is here, and it's popular no matter if I watch it or not, which I don't. But for Fox to bring it to a major network, it's huge for wrestling, and there's a big fan base there that loves this sport. I think it's a great investment for Fox, and it'll be interesting to see just how much it grows now that it is on national TV.
All right, the poll will be up on Twitter shortly at Murph_Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Justin Cerenzi or Michael Hadmeyer?
All right, Throwdowns in the books. The Royals and Cardinals still on 1460 KXNO. Tie game at 2 in the top of the 10th inning. The Royals have a couple guys on. Cardinals trying to take the series, or it's the rubber match of the series. We will have, we'll stay streaming on iHeartRadio, and then join the radio, the 1460 audience, whenever that game is up. Coming up to start the 3 o'clock hour, we will start with Trending Iowa, and we'll catch up with Chad Lystico, who is in Omaha. Okay, we will talk with those guys whenever we'll catch up with Chad whenever we get a chance. All right. We have a little bit of extra time here. I did want to mention before we head to break that some tough news for our media folks. The Land of 10, Scott Docterman tweeted out today that the Land of 10 will stop operating by June 30th. So the Land of 10, guys that do a great job covering Big Ten football, Big Ten sports, and of course, Big Ten Sports and Iowa Hawkeyes, Bobby LaJess, good friend, Scott Docterman, good friends, guys that we see every day. They will definitely land on their feet, and if you're hiring, give those guys a call. Land of 10 ending June 30th. So thinking about those guys, we know how the trend of media is moving this way. I really thought that they were going to stick. They lasted 21 months. Okay, now we're heading to break. Trending Iowa will start in the next hour. We'll also have Chad Lystico, who is with the Iowa Hawkeye baseball team in Omaha.